Let's pray to each prepare ourselves before we study God's word. While I give you a moment of silence to pray, let me suggest that you tell God you want to have an open heart toward his word. Father, I pray that you would speak to us today from your word and apply it to each of us by your spirit. Specifically, whatever each of us needs to deal with, we're listening. I pray that we would each respond to you, who has loved us and saved us, given us eternal life. May we now walk worthy. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I got married 20 years ago, and there are many things that changed when that happened. I stopped hanging out at singles places. I no longer do just what I want to do. Of course, I still do things that I want to do. But not just what I want to do. I can't think just about myself. I can't spend all my time just doing what I want to do for me. I have to think about my family. I make decisions differently. I spend my time differently because of the commitment that I've made to my wife especially and to my kids. And none of that is a bummer. I'm glad. I wouldn't trade it for anything. There are some decisions that change almost everything, like getting married did for me. And there is one decision that should change everything. And that one decision is us trusting Jesus Christ. And it shouldn't be a bummer to us that it changes everything. We should be glad that we wouldn't trade it for anything. Please open your Bible to the book of Ephesians, or it's there in your Sermon Note app if you have that pulled up. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. The first three chapters of Ephesians are about who we are if we trust Jesus Christ, and the things that we have in Christ, which are just a ton of amazing things. Even the amazing things that are listed there is just a sampling of all that we have in Christ. And so now the passage that we're starting to read here begins with, therefore. Therefore is therefore if you are in Christ Jesus. This is how we should live. God doesn't want us to live the same way that people that are merely of this world that don't trust in Christ live. He wants us to live new now that we're in Christ. Please look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 19 while I read. Therefore, this I say and testify to you in the Lord. No longer walk just as the pagans are walking in purposelessness of their thinking, having been darkened in their understanding, living excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance which is in them, because of the hardness of their hearts, who indeed are losing sensitivity. They give themselves over to any desire without restraint for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. If you are in Christ Jesus, God doesn't want you to walk, that is, live, the same way that people of this world live. People who follow false gods, people who follow false religions, and people who don't follow any God at all, who just do whatever they feel like, whatever they want. But we who trust Christ, who are in Christ, who have all these amazing spiritual blessings now in Christ, are to follow Christ, walking His ways, living His ways. People who don't trust Christ have meaningless life. They don't know the meaning to life. That's what I mean. Not that their life doesn't mean anything, but they don't know the true meaning of life. And so the way that they think about life is purposeless. It's futile. But we who trust Christ know that there is greater meaning to this life than just the everyday stuff, just getting by. We know that it's bigger than that. There's more meaning for what we do. We know God designed this life, and we know how it should be lived according to Him. Even brand new Christians, the very first thing that you learn in the Word of God, you know something of the way that God wants you to live. And it should be that every single day that we're in Christ, we're learning more of the ways that He wants us to live. And so we are not to keep living like those people who don't know. People who don't trust Christ are living their lives apart from the one true God. And this isn't because God makes them to be excluded. The passage says it is because they're ignoring and stubborn hearts. But we who trust Christ, who are now children of God, we have access to the secrets of this life which God designed. We should not ignore His ways. We should not ignore the truth. We should learn His ways, and when we do learn any new way from God, from His truth, we should not harden our hearts. Because we don't want to be like those people who don't know the one true God. In many different ways, God is trying to show people who He is and how we should live in light of who He is and knowing Him. When a person gets a glimpse of who God is, which can happen in many different ways, or what God wants, which again can happen in many different ways, we can get a little bit of who God is by creation. We can get a little bit of what He wants by our conscience. And then beyond that, Christians tell non-Christians about Christ so they can know who He is. And we who know Christ, we can look at Him and His life and we can know more about God because He is the living Word of God that tells us the most about God. We can also learn about God and what He wants from Bible teaching and from reading the Bible ourselves. And if that person, whether a non-Christian or a Christian, refuses to accept what they are hearing and change the way that they're thinking and change their living, that's called hardening their hearts. It's like getting a callus on your heart, on your soul. I have these big scars on my knees, a whole bunch of them, because I've had a whole bunch of surgeries on my knee. And there are parts of my knee that when I touch it, it doesn't feel the same. Like I touch here and I have full feeling, and I touch over here and I really can't feel my fingertips touching that place. I've lost feeling where I have those scars. When a person hardens themselves against the Lord, they start to lose feeling, lose sensitivity to the Lord when He's speaking. You don't want to be like that, do you? So we need to keep a soft heart, and that doesn't just mean that we listen. A soft heart means we listen with an eye to doing what He says. Otherwise, we'll become callous. If you don't want to be like that, when the Lord speaks to you through His Word, the Bible, through a Spirit-filled brother or sister in Christ, through conviction that's in your heart that may be the Holy Spirit or maybe your conscience, give yourself to what He wants. Do what God says. Do what God's Word, the Bible, says. That way you will stay sensitive to the Lord. Because look at what these people do who don't trust Christ and become callous. Verse 19, they give themselves over to any desire without restraint for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Whatever is desirable to them, they just do it with no restraint. Greediness. They just want more and more. They want more and more of every kind of impurity. That word translated impurity refers to behaviors that cause a person to look unclean in God's sight. So they are giving themselves with greediness, just wanting over and over things that in God's sight look unclean. I should have thought about how I was going to get that off my hands. Most of us have lived like that, looking unclean in God's sight. You don't want to be like that anymore, do you? You don't want to live like that anymore, do you? Therefore, if you don't want to live like that, looking unclean in God's sight, even though He's cleaned you in Christ, we shouldn't just do whatever is desirable to us with no restraint. Look at verses 20 and 21. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard about Him, and if indeed in Him you have been taught. If you have heard the true gospel of Jesus Christ and you have honestly trusted Him, if you have been hearing authentic Bible teaching, you know better than to keep living like someone who does not trust Christ. Follow Christ and not be just a little bit different, like maybe the average person's life. Be totally different. Totally different. Let's keep reading. Picking up at the end of verse 21. Since trust is in Jesus, you all take off the former manner of living. Take off the old person, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, and be made new in the spirit of your mind, which has been created by God in righteousness and true devotion. We are exhorted to give up our former manner of living. Since that old way of living, it says, is corrupted in the sight of God. It's like it's rusting, it's rotting away. We are to take that off like a dirty shirt. I felt so uncomfortable standing here in this thing, even for just a few minutes. And hopefully, we who trust Christ and have the Spirit in us, we feel uncomfortable living in the dirtiness of our old living. We feel uncomfortable in that. We're supposed to take it off. There are things in this world which God considers bad that are very attractive. Their attractiveness, though, it says here, is deceitful. By looking good, by feeling good, they fool us into doing what is actually bad for us. That's why we need God's truth to tell us what is good, what is right, the right ways to live. How can we trust that Christ is the way to eternal life and yet not trust the ways that He tells us to live this life? Think about that. We're going to say that we trust this invisible person for eternal life, that we're going to be in heaven forever in His presence. We can say we trust that. And yet, when it comes to like, hey, don't lie anymore. Don't get angry anymore. We're going to go, I don't know if you've got that figured out. We should trust Him about everything. Verse 23 says, be made new in the spirit of your mind. Our thinking has to be changed before our behavior will change. That is a consistent biblical message. Romans 12 talks about that, about the be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This isn't like New Age or contemporary thinking or something like that. Like, changing your mind is everything. This is biblical thinking. This is biblical teaching. We need to change our minds. We need to change our thinking before our behavior will change. If you are not convinced that Jesus has the only truth about life, then you won't follow His teaching. We won't live by the Bible. Here's one way people struggle in their minds when they become Christians. If you've lived doing certain things for long enough, it becomes like our identity. Even if it's sin, it becomes like our identity. And so I've heard people say things about these behaviors that they've done for a long time. I can't give that up. It's who I am. And so we need to know, if we are in Christ, those things are not who we are. That you are no longer who you used to be. Start over. That stuff that you used to do is not who you are. It's corrupted. If we really have been recreated by God in Christ, and we have really been made right with God, then we should have internal motivation to live right with God. There's something inside of us that wants to live right with God. If we really have been recreated by God in Christ, then we will have a sense of devotion to God. As we talked a few weeks ago, this fear, which is the person that we want to please the most, is God. We care what He thinks the most. And true devotion expresses itself in action. And so if we have been made new by trust in Jesus Christ, then we will act new, living by His truth. It's not going to be this instantaneous, like everything from the old is gone and everything is new, but we should be giving ourselves to this process of change. Now, I've been speaking of truth, giving ourselves to God's truth. Did you know that that word truth means what is real? When we say God has truth, we're saying only God knows what reality is. And only He knows how life really works. If you trust Christ, you are no longer an atheist. No longer a naturalist or a follower of false gods. So don't live like it. We know better, don't we? Give yourself to living like the new person that you are in Christ. Live like the things in the following verses. Look at verses 25 through 32. Therefore, taking off falsehood, each one of you must speak truth with his neighbor, because we are members of one another. You must be angered, but you must not sin. The sun must not set on your angry mood, and you must not give the devil an opportunity. One who is stealing must no longer steal, but rather must work hard, working at what is good with his or her own hands, so that he or she may have something to share with the one who does lack what is needed. Any and every good word that is rotten must not come out of your mouth, but rather only what word is good for building up for the need, so that it gives grace to those who hear. And you must not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. All bitterness and wrath and anger and shouting and slander must be taken away from you, along with all hateful feelings. But instead, you must become kind to one another, good-hearted, giving grace to one another, just as God in Christ has given grace to you. That is just a beginning list of things to take off. Like this filthy old shirt. I took it off. That's a beginning list of things we should take off. That means give them up, set them aside. And most of the things that we take off and set aside are to be replaced by new behaviors, new character. This taking off and putting on is not a one-time thing. This is regarding behaviors. And so we should be doing this repeatedly as Christians, taking off stuff and putting on new. We always have more changes that can be made because we will never be perfect in this life. The behaviors in this verse that I just read, I'm going to talk about each of them in some detail. But you should know a couple things before I talk about each of them. First, these are primarily things that are to change with us in the church family. That's the way that he talks about them anyway. But these will change in all of our relationships if we are really changing on the inside. And secondly, this is just a sample of behaviors that should change. We have sample lists like this all over the Bible that are not the same. There's new things. There's some crossover, but there's a whole bunch of things that need to change, and these are just some of them. So you should consider these behaviors that are in this particular list as I go through them. But if you've made all these changes, I'm going to challenge you to look for something else to change. This coronavirus thing has put my family in our home a lot more together. We're bound up together a ton. And we are irritating each other a lot more than we used to. You see, we've each had these behaviors that we've known about. We've seen them as we've interacted in our house on a regular basis. But being around each other more has revealed how problematic these behaviors are, just how irritating they really are to people. And yes, they're irritating us in our house, but when we go outside of our house, when coronavirus is over, we go and we irritate other people with them, like we were irritating other people with them before the coronavirus. But they're especially showing themselves right now. God showed me that this season is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for each of us to get better. And so we each, in my family, we sit down once a week as a family, and the family tells each person one thing that's the most irritating, the thing that we think that person needs to work on the most, the change that they need to make the most. And we have a daily checklist that sits on the counter that we score each other on how we did that day with making that change. And we have rewards at the end of the week if we've made improvement or what level of improvement that we've made in that thing. Now, you don't have to do it the way that we are, but I want to suggest that you don't just wait out the coronavirus. Rather, that we should use this as just another opportunity in our lives to change. And maybe this season is especially showing you something that needs to change. So consider the following behaviors as we go through them. When taking off falsehood, replace it with speaking the truth. We know from other teachings in the Bible, God wants us to always be truthful in every relationship. For one, we won't be trusted if we're not truthful, and so that's not good for relationships to not have trust. Another thing is, God is always truthful. And so we only represent God well if we speak the truth. Anger, in verse 26, is a little different than the other things in this passage. We are allowed to be angry. Why? Because people sin. And it's right to be angered by sin. God is angered by sin. But when we get angry over somebody sinning, whether it's them sinning against us, or we just see something that they're doing, hurting other people, hurting themselves, we must not sin ourselves because of our anger. We have to keep from things like gossiping. We have to keep from things like bitterness. And to keep from doing things like that, from sinning in the state of anger, we must deal properly with the person, and we must deal properly with our angry feelings. And so to learn about dealing properly with a sinning Christian, I want to refer you to read Matthew 18:15 later on. To deal with the angry feelings, it says, the sun must not set on your angry mood. So it is best to go to a brother or sister quickly, or anybody else that you're angry with. When a brother or sister has a sin issue and we get angry with that, or we have some relational issue with anybody and we're angry, it's best to go to them quickly, if you can. But in the meantime, the very day that we become angry, we need to get over our angry mood that day. Whether you can actually call them or go to them or not, we still need to get over our angry mood that day to keep from sinning ourselves, from becoming bitter or resenting that person. Because in the space of time that we're not dealing with our anger productively, the passage threatens that the devil is given an opportunity. This is serious stuff. We don't want to give our put in a place in our lives to the devil, do we? Like, open a door, come on in, devil. And that's exactly what we do when we don't deal with our anger over sin productively. The devil is a slanderer. He tries to whisper to us that person is worthless, or that their motives were bad in doing what they did. It wasn't just an accident. And our anger turns to hate or spite. The devil doesn't want us to think the best of another person so that we go to them and deal with this properly, thinking, if I do go to them, they're going to grieve over their sin and they're going to repent over their sin. They're going to apologize for what they did. That's exactly what we need to do, is go to them, deal with it productively. Believe God in that, not believe the devil, the slanderer, the one who's lying to us. So how do we deal with our angry mood until we get to talk to that person? I think Psalm 4, where this verse is partially derived from, has a good suggestion. Prayer. Pray for God's help with your thoughts and your emotions to try to get yourself over your angry mood until you can go talk to that person. Next, some people, instead of working, steal. The solution is pretty clear. Don't steal. But remember, there's usually something to put on in its place. It's not just stop something. If you're stealing, don't steal. That would be the takeoff. That would be the stop. We have something to put on in its place. If you are able to work, work. Take any honest job. There's often some work available. Even if you think that work is below you, you should do it. It's just a season, maybe, but do it. And then there's even something to go beyond that, to reverse the stealing. We are to be willing to take some of what we've earned and help others who lack even those basic necessities, their basic needs, and they can't do anything about it. They truly can't go to work and earn something. And so we are to help those people. Wow, this verse 29 has got to be challenging for all of us at some level. Even though I said if you've made all these changes, you can think of something else, this one has to challenge all of us at some level. Any and every word that is rotten must not come out of your mouth. Any and every. Not even one useless word is supposed to come out of our mouths as Christians. I haven't achieved that. All of our words are to be useful. Useful in building others up. What does it mean to build someone up? It means to meet their needs with our words. Our words are to be kind gifts to people. Think about your words. Is every word that comes out of your mouth toward another person like a kind gift to them? God created our mouths and has given us speech ability above any other creature. And we are supposed to use those mouths for a good purpose as God intended. We are to bless God and we are to build other people up. But we use our mouths to tear down. We can tear down our church family with gossip, slander, and just plain unhelpful talk. And when we do, we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. See, Christ ones are God's special possession. He has stamped His Holy Spirit on us like you would stamp something with your property. Like all my books in my office, they have a stamp on there that says my name so that if I loan a book out, people know that's mine. And God has stamped His ownership on us by putting the Holy Spirit in us. So when we speak a word against someone that is God's child, that belongs to God, we grieve God directly. The Holy Spirit specifically, because He is the one who is in every Christian. I don't tear into people with mean words, and maybe you don't either. But I do still say a lot of things that are just worthless. They just don't need to be said. They don't build up. They're not gracious gifts that I'm giving to someone, especially to my family. Isn't it sad that that's who we do it to, the worst? I want to stop those rotten words from coming out of my mouth and put on only things that are building up. Next, we must take off all bitterness and wrath and anger and shouting and slander. We need to not only give up the behaviors, but the attitudes that are behind the behaviors. Hateful feelings, for example. The wording here says these things must be taken away from us. In the passive, it says it in passive, they must be taken away from us. You see, the good news is God can help us with taking these things off. Like I said, He's put His Holy Spirit in us, and we know from other passages that the Holy Spirit helps us when we give ourselves over to Him to change these things. to not give in to those sinful desires, and rather to walk the ways that the Holy Spirit wants us to walk and produce the good fruit that God wants us to produce in that. And as we take those bad things off and we replace them with new behaviors, we become different. We must become kind to one another, good-hearted, giving grace. We have a model for this, the way that God in Christ has forgiven us and given us grace. That's not just salvation. Grace, in its most basic, is a gift. God has given us so many gifts. Like I said earlier, that's what most of the first chapter of Ephesians is about, all these amazing gifts, blessings that He's given us in relationship. And so we are supposed to model ourselves after Him, and we're supposed to be giving other people gifts through our behavior. And so regarding these few words here, when we're in the heat of a moment, when our heart is fuming, and we don't think the other person deserves kindness, we need to remember how God's treated us with kindness. When we were enemies with God, undeserving of His grace, God gave us grace. Undeserving of His forgiveness, He gave us forgiveness. He offered Jesus Christ for us to reconcile us to Himself. And so we should be doing the same kinds of things. Now, like I said, that list that we just went through, it's just an example list of how we are to walk together in a manner suitable of us being called Christ ones. It's an example list of ways that we can walk worthy of being Christ ones. If you've made all the changes that we just listed in those passages, or maybe you haven't made them all, but the Spirit wasn't speaking to you in one of those things, I challenge you to look for something else to work on changing, something else that God might speak to you. I'm going to mention just a few that are inspired by the fact that many of us are cooped up with our families and maybe feeling frustrated. Maybe you are easily irritated by others, and you need to take that off and put on more tolerance. This was kind of hinted at in the passage, but I think it's worth mentioning again or saying differently. Maybe you're losing your temper, and you need to lay that aside and put on patience. Maybe you're viewing things that are impure, and you need to lay that aside and put on purity. Maybe you are overly worried, and you need to take that off and put on trust in God. Maybe you're using substances to deal with stress, and you need to lay that aside and put on being filled with the Holy Spirit. You all who are in Christ, continue to take off your former manner of living and be made new. So let's pray to apply what we learned today. While I give you a moment here, would you just continue to let God's Spirit speak to you? What is it that He may be challenging you to change in this season? If you feel like you're hearing what that thing is, would you tell God if you're willing to give yourself to change? And would you ask Him for the help of His Holy Spirit to make that change? And if you see the bad behavior that needs to change, but you don't know what to put in its place, it's really helpful to have something to replace it with. And so would you ask him what that bad behavior might be replaced with that's good? Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on a cross to give us forgiveness of our offenses against you, to give us resurrection to eternal life in your presence, where everything will be perfect. We will have no more crying or mourning or pain. Jesus, I also thank you for all the spiritual blessings that we have by being in you, things that we have in this life by being in relationship with you. There are so many. And God, I pray that as forgiven people, as blessed people, as people that have been recreated in Christ, I pray that we would give ourselves to acting like what we are, children of God, that we would walk worthy of being called Christ ones. And I pray this name, that pray this, these things in your name, because I hope that they honor you. And all those who agreed said, Amen.